And welcome to Community Focus, where it's all about what matters locally to you. I'm Noah Dingley, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. If you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know that I am a lover of history, and one of today's stories just really grabbed at my heart. It's a great human interest story, and there's going to be a film screening of The Last Survivors, Echoes from the Holocaust, commemorating the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. I believe I said that correct. If not, my guest will correct me, I'm sure. Zane Busby is my guest. She's a filmmaker and the founder of the Survivor Mitzvah Project. And she has done so much in television and film. She's been an actress, and she's also started this phenomenal organization, the Survivor Mitzvah Project. And we're going to be talking about that and the film. And first of all, Zane, welcome to Community Focus. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be here.
So first off, I think a great place to start, because this is kind of where this all started, is tell us about your roots trip. You know, why did you first decide to go on it in Lithuania and Belarus? And then it kind of took an unexpected turn, and that is another part of the story we're going to get to that's also just as fascinating.
Well, yes. Well, you know, I'm basically a television comedy director, and I do sitcoms. And usually at the end of the year, when we're all exhausted, we go to Hawaii. But this year, particular year, I decided to just take 2 weeks and go to see where my grandmothers were from. One was from Belarus and one was from Lithuania.
Okay.
So I did that. And while I was over there, because they all lived in little tiny villages, with a guy traveling on the back roads of these places into these little villages, I found Holocaust survivors living in abject poverty. Usually the last Jewish person in their town and village, people who had their whole families massacred, who are now basically forgotten by the world and living without any kind of support or support systems for the elderly, you know? So, and they were in desperate need of food, medicine, heat, and shelter. So when I got back to the United States, I thought, well, I'll just go online and find an organization that does this and give them these names. But there isn't one. There's no organization that gives them direct financial aid so that they can get everything that they need, especially the medicine and the heat and the food.
Wow, there were no organizations. Yeah. That shocks me. That's not right.
Right, exactly. That's what I thought. I couldn't believe it. And, I mean, there are organizations that use reparations or restitution money from Germany, but they don't give it directly to the survivors, so that they give goods and services, which is very helpful. I mean, all help is good help. But I found that what they need the most is actual financial aid, that they can get the right prescription, they can get the food that they can eat, they can get the firewood or the gas, you know, they know their own situation better than anybody. So they needed personal care. And what I also found out was that they needed to be remembered. I mean, these are people who have gone through the darkest days of human history. I mean, I call them the unluckiest generation. The oldest, when I first started, experienced World War II and the Russian Revolution as children, you know, civil war, dislocation, evacuation, lost their parents, widespread violence. And then if they survived that, came the pogroms of the 1920s and the 30s and the enforced famines of the 1930s, where thousands were murdered and starved to death.
Yeah.
And then if they survived that, came the rise of Nazism and the full-blown Holocaust. And if they survived that, after the war, they were caught behind the Iron Curtain, where it was still a crime to be Jewish. And if they survived that, came Stalin's purges of the 1950s, and then Chernobyl, and then Perestroika, where every penny they ever saved was taken from them. So they're truly the unluckiest generation, and they've lived in places that still don't let them tell what happened to them in the Holocaust. So when I asked them, what happened to you, it was like the floodgates opened, and I got these incredible stories and bravery and betrayal and love and war and everything, as they poured out their hearts to me in the most vivid ways. So I started collecting those stories by filming them.
And Zane Busby's my guest, and she's a filmmaker, also the founder of the Survivor Mitzvah Project. She's directed over 200 episodes of network television. She had a professional acting career, classically trained in New York, and then a dramatic turn, as we've just been talking about it, during her roots trip into Eastern Europe and finding these forgotten Holocaust survivors. I imagine some of the stories, Zane, that you heard were just absolutely heartbreaking. And maybe share with us a story that you can recall. And hopefully also some of these stories ended with a message of hope towards the end.
You know, that they all, almost all, end with hope because, I get thousands of letters from these people, which is now part of an educational Holocaust archive.
Yeah.
But for instance, a 96-year-old woman, right, she writes to me and she says, I'm quoting from her letter, in my situation, desolate and lonely, old and in poor health, not having a single good friend with whom to speak intimately and unburden my broken heart,
yeah,
you brought me joy. Your letter brought me hope. There are good people in this world. You go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I just was with a man when I was over in Moldova who ran from the killing fields where, you know, they mass murdered, you know, hundreds, you know, millions of people,
yeah,
by just rounding up an entire town or village and killing all of the inhabitants. And he was a little boy and he was 10 years old. And they, you know, he was lined up to be shot. And this guy ahead of him asked the Lithuanian guard who was going to kill them for a last cigarette. And the guard said, okay. And as he leaned in to light the match, the guy bit him in the neck and told the kid to run. So the kid ran into the woods.
Wow.
10 years old, right?
Yeah.
And he ran and he ran. And by the time he got to the next town, the killing squads were in the next town. So he went through the whole thing again and ran and ran and ran. So I asked him, I said, you know, when you go to sleep at night, he says, yes, yes, I still dream that I am running.
You go through things like that that are absolutely horrific that nobody, much less alone a child, should go through. And those things haunt you. They never leave.
They absolutely never leave. And, you know, I always ask these people, you know, what's the most important thing in life? Because many of them, you know, are quite elderly now. And, you know, they don't have, I've never talked to someone who has a bitterness. They all have hope for the future. And they say to a person, the most important thing in life is goodness and kindness, goodness and kindness to a stranger. Because they were all saved by an act of kindness from someone. Someone threw them a piece of bread or hid them for a night or hid them for a month.
Indeed.
You know, or didn't point them out, you know. And, you know, there's a long and wonderful history of Christian rescuers during the Holocaust. And that always amazes me, too, because if you go to some of the places that I've been to where an entire town might be 10 or 15 huts, you know, these small little kind of shacks. In one hut, there's a family that, you know, killed Jews. They were, you know, collaborators, Nazis. In the next hut, they hid two little Jewish girls and saved their lives.
Wow.
In the next hut, you know, they killed people. In the next hut, they saved people. And I always wonder, you know, here's the same people, educated or uneducated in the same way, from the same parishes, from the same, you know, education or lack of education, and what makes one person so good and one person so evil. You know, it's an amazing question, you know, the forces of good and evil. But these people who saved people are just the heroes of the world. I mean, they saved people at the risk of their entire family being killed, because if you gave a Jewish person so much as a crust of bread, your entire family would be hung or shot. So these were really, really incredible people. And so when I started the Survivor Mitzvah Project, I thought, you know, we can all become rescuers now. We certainly can't go back in time and help, but we can help now because there are still these same survivors who need our help. And
Indeed.
We can rescue them so much easier now. It doesn't, you know, it's not at the risk of our own lives. All we have to do is click a button or send a check, and you've saved a life.
You know, Zane, a lot of us now, we have certain heroes in, you know, the line of work that we're in or our families, and that's all fine and good. And I imagine you did, too. Going through your television, your comedy career and so forth. Your world was rather rocked when you were on this trip and discovered the Holocaust survivors. In a good way for sure. Was there a specific experience that led you to say, hey, you know, there isn't an organization to help these people. I'm going to help these people. I'm going to, you know, get this 501c3, the Survivor Mitzvah Project, off the ground. What was the catalyst that said, hey, I got to do something?
Well, you know, I was compelled to do something when I saw how they lived and I saw the need, because the need is so great. And when I came back, what I did was I was still working on television, and I would, at that time, you know, you could put a $20 bill in an envelope and send it along, and that $20 bill would be like, you know, $100 to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much like that today, but people, and I didn't even know if they would know who I was, you know, and I didn't speak the language. So most of them write in Russian or Yiddish or Lithuanian. And but I started getting these little, one day I started getting these notes back, you know, and I thought, oh, this is amazing. And I had no way to know what they were writing. So I used to go out, and if I was driving, I would carry their letters in my pocket if I was driving to the studio. And if I saw a refrigerator repair truck on the road, you know, I'd stop the car, I'd run out, and I'd go, hey, are you Russian? Because, you know, everyone knows that refrigerator repairmen are rocket scientists in Russia. And they would say yes, and they would read me these letters. And some of the early letters were things like, your letter and the money that you gave me was like a candle in the darkness.
Wow.
Or a gift from destiny. And so I started, once I knew these people, I got some real translators, and I started writing, and I said, tell me, what happened to you? What happened to you during the Holocaust? And then I started getting 10 and 15 page letters back.
Yeah.
And they would tell me, you know, all about them. And then I, you know, they would say things like, I would give my life, who are you? I would give my life to meet you. And they would give me names of other people who needed help. And this little network started. And then I started looking at their birthdays thinking, you know, wow, you know, 1911, 1905, mm-hmm. 19, you know, 18. I said, if I don't get back there, I'm not going to ever meet these people that I'm writing to. I went back and found more people, more and more, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And today we're helping like 2,500 people in 9 countries. You know, we have people who are helping from everywhere. And, you know, the time to help is now, because this is a finite project.
Oh, it is. I mean, these people are, you know, up there in age. And if you sit on your laurels and wait, there's not going to be anybody to help.
That's exactly right. And they so deserve the help. It's funny. They're such sweet people. They said to me in 2008, when the financial meltdown was happening here, I got a bunch of letters that said, oh, we know that your country is very poor now and you have no money. So don't, you know, don't worry. Don't send us money, but still write. Let's not lose our connection, because the connection is as important as the money in a totally different way for their, you know, emotional well-being, because they don't have a sister to write to. They don't have a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or a nephew. Their whole family structure was decimated, and then their whole community was decimated. So it's kind of like a double deed of good to be able to help them financially, but also to be able to have them write to us and kind of become part of a family, you know?
Mm. That's what it's all about, really. I mean, you know, and we can, you know, help bring them together, become part of their family as well. Zane Busby with me, successful TV, comedy, and network series director. We're pleased to have her on the show, and she's a great humanitarian as well. If you haven't heard of it, I suggest you check out the Survivor Mitzvah Project, and you can check it out. I believe the website, survivormitzvahproject.org, correct?
It's survivormitzvah.org.
Gotcha.
So it's Survivor, MITZVAH.org.
And there you can find out about all of their great work with helping these Holocaust survivors. You can also make a donation, which I highly recommend that you do. If you're looking for a reputable organization to not only keep going, but make sure that these dollars go towards a worthy cause, you're not going to find a better 501c3 than this. You're just not going to.
Yeah, we make sure that 100% of the money that people donate for the care of survivors goes directly into the hands of a Holocaust survivor. 100%, every penny.
Amen to that. How soon after establishing the project did you get the notion that you wanted to make a movie about it, such as the Last Survivors?
The letters that I was receiving were so amazing that I used to just Xerox them and read them to people, and everyone kept telling me, oh, my God, you know, you should do some sort of a public reading or something like that. So eventually we had the opportunity at the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles to do a big event where they said, yes, we'd love for you to read the letters. I put the word out to some friends, and we got a wonderful cast together. Everyone just pitched in on a volunteer basis. We got Valerie Harper, who was amazing, and Ed Asner and Francis Fisher.
Oh, great.
Lainey Kazan and Elliot Gould, a lot of great people. We got some music acts, and we put together this presentation where I told the story, my story, of how it all began and the process and how it came to be and the growth of the organization. And then these actors read the letters from the survivors, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Oh, I bet.
We filmed that. Yeah, we filmed that, and that's the film that we're going to show in Carlsbad, actually, in the San Diego area, in commemoration of Kristallnacht, which was the, you know, kind of like the official start of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
That was the day that Germany burned all the synagogues.
And that's going to be coming up here on November 9th, and people can attend the screening. And the best part is admission is free. There's also going to be a discussion afterwards with yourself that people can, you know, if they're curious as I am, and I know a lot about it, just loving history. But if they want to know more, they can feel free to ask questions and get involved in the whole process.
Yeah, it's a wonderful grassroots effort because everybody who gets involved, you know, it's as cathartic for the Holocaust survivors being helped as it is for the people who helped them, you know?
Mm.
And I like, at one of these events, a 12-year-old boy came up to me and he said something really wonderful. He said, "Oh, I get it. It's like Anne Frank." And I, quite frankly, I was thinking, how is it like Anne Frank? And he said, because if Anne Frank had survived, wouldn't we want to help her? She'd be old now. And I thought, yeah, it's exactly like that. So, you know, kids like it because they also get to realize that, you know, the Holocaust is not just about people who were incarcerated in concentration camps. The Holocaust is about the fighters and the teenagers who ran to the forest, just like teenagers would do today. The teenagers wanted to live so bad. You know, they went into the forest, they took up guns, and they fought the Nazis.
Yeah.
And these people had hopes and dreams just like you and I. You know, they wanted to be ballerinas, and they wanted to be ball players, and they wanted to be actors, and they wanted to be doctors. But everything was cut short because one day, you know, motorcycles came roaring into town, set up machine guns, and killed everybody.
Mm.
So, you know, this is a great lesson in life about intolerance and the need for tolerance and understanding between people. You know, and the need for celebrating our differences. You know, this is really something that really impacts our present day life when there is so much crazy hatred going around, you know?
Oh, it's very true. And, you know, you need, if you focus on the past and you help out those that went through this horrific time and you understand it, you're going to make sure and be aware of what's going on today. And hopefully the same thing won't happen again because you got to stay plugged in. There's no way around it.
Yeah, because there are genocides going on today. I mean, you'd think that there wouldn't be, you know. You'd think that, but it's happening again because there was some article recently written, I think it was in the New York Times, where only 20% of the younger generation knew what Auschwitz was.
Wow.
Which is kind of a, you know, that's a pretty frightening statistic. And something like 70% of people don't know who fought in World War II. They think we fought the Russians, but, you know, the Russians were our allies.
Yeah.
So now we're talking over, you know, 75 years after the war, right? 80 years after the start of the war, we have these survivors aging in place without Medicare, without health insurance, without home care, without doctors, without assisted living.
You know,
imagine if any of us could do that?
Not to interrupt you, but you hit a nail so hard. And it, for me, that is not acceptable. You have these people that went through such a horrific time in history, not by choice, and there obviously are ways to take care of them. It needs to be done. Like there's you have to help.
Well, that's what hit me. I said, you know, if no one's doing this, I got to do something.
Mm.
You know, so I did what I could, and it just kind of snowballed. I didn't set out to create a 501c3 nonprofit organization and devote my whole life to it. I just started out trying to help. You know.
Mm.
Because I thought, how can I stand by now that I know about this? How can I do nothing?
Well, I imagine the 501c3 began because there's so much work to be done. I mean, there's so many people that are still left. There's so much help that needs to be given. There's no, the 501c3 was almost a necessity.
Absolutely a necessity. I'm finding new people every day. If you go on the website and you look at some of the short videos that we have on the website, you'll see us on humanitarian aid expeditions. I just, you know, got back from one in Moldova and a country called Transnistria, which is near Moldova.
Mm.
And you can see how we help the people. You can see the need. You can see that there are people that are still lonely and forgotten and in poor health. And you can see how also wonderful they are. They're so full of wisdom and they have such hope for the future of generations. And they want people to listen to their words so this will never happen again. They always say, let there not be war, you know, let you never experience what I've experienced, you know. They don't want this to happen again, but we have to listen to them, you know.
And if people want to find out more about it, again, go to the website, Survivor Mitzvah, that's MITZVAH.org, SurvivorMitzvah.org. And I hope people can come to this screening. One, it's free, so it's not going to cost them anything. And find out a little bit more, even if they think they know about the Holocaust. I think they're going to hear things they've never heard before. And again, there's not going to be a dry eye in the house. It's going to be at 7805 Centella Street, C-E-N-T-E-L-L-A, in Carlsbad, zip code, if you need it, 92009. And what's the best way they can get tickets? Do they go to the website?
Well, they can get tickets by just, seating is limited. It's free, but seating is limited. So to reserve your seats, just send an email to jcoprograms@gmail.com.
And that's because the Jewish Collaborative of San Diego is going to be the ones hosting
presenting it.
Yes.
Right, exactly. And there are wonderful organizations that provide resources that support and enhance opportunities for all people seeking fulfillment in their lives. And they build bridges between Jewish, Christian, and Muslim faith. So it's a wonderful organization in itself. And we're very proud to be associated with them in presenting The Last Survivors, Echoes from the Holocaust, I think people will really like to see.
Oh, I think they're gonna love it. I'm planning on going myself. And I hope to be able to meet you afterwards. I would be honored to. I think you're doing tremendous work. Probably, you know, there are great organizations out there, but this is one that really hits close to home for me because of my love for history. And I just want to let you know from the bottom of my heart, I think that you're doing an outstanding service to the people that really need a lot of help. And I know that they really appreciate it.
Oh, they do so much. Because these are the last generation of Holocaust survivors. And we are the last generation to have the duty and the honor to help them. And I really believe that by helping survivors of the Holocaust, we can write a more hopeful final chapter to the Holocaust, one of kindness and compassion, of friendship and love.
And I know the goal is to make sure that no Holocaust survivor who has experienced some of those darkest days in human history will ever suffer again or be hungry or be neglected or be forgotten. Would you say that to this date, in the length of time that Survivor Mitzvah has been around, that you've made great strides towards making that happen?
Yes, for the people that we have found and the people that we've been able to support through other people's donations, we've changed their lives. Here's a wonderful letter that I just got. Okay, this is really fast. If I can,
please share
on it really, really, really quickly.
Sure, go ahead.
I just saw it. Well, talk amongst yourselves.
That's why this is radio. It's actually happening. She's searching for the letter. It's very, very exciting.
I just saw it. This is a daughter writing about her mother, okay? She says, quote, "You can't even imagine how your support impacted my mother's life. Thanks to you, she now lives happily in a nice, warm, new apartment with all the conveniences. She can afford food and medical help that's so expensive here. She feels really good, never complains about anything. My dearest friends, I want to say again that you are creating miracles. In our difficult times, you find the means to help elderly people like my mother who suffered so much and to brighten their later years. I bow low before you."
Wow.
Svetlana Gushkova.
Wow.
From Ukraine. You know, we get hundreds of these letters that say, "You saved my life." You know, one woman wrote to me yesterday, you know, "Without you, I couldn't even afford an apple," you know?
Yeah. With the amount that you get, I imagine it's difficult. Do you guys have a chance, at least, you know, in theory, of trying to make the effort to respond to all of these letters?
That's part of the project. Like I say, the care and the individual attention is as much as a help to them as the financial aid, you know?
Yeah.
One woman just wrote, you know, "When I write these lines, there is a lump in my throat from tears. I'm sitting here and crying that total strangers are taking care of me. Your generosity is worth all the diamonds in the world." You know, it's just, it's life-changing for them. Absolutely life-changing. And it's so easy to help them. Things that we just take for granted, you know. They shouldn't be cold and hungry. I mean, food and things like that are not that expensive over there. So we figured out that it costs between $100 and $150, depending on the level of care that they need.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can donate $10, they can donate $150, they can donate $10,000. We would welcome that, but every single penny counts.
And Zane, I was just going to say that. I know there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, well, you know, times are tough. I don't have a whole lot of money. And that's fine, because give whatever you can give. If you can give $5, if everybody listening to this were to give $5, it all adds up and it makes a tremendous difference. And it will be life-changing.
It's life-changing, and it makes a huge impact. So never think that you don't have enough to give. We all have enough to give, because, you know, just think about a Starbucks cup of coffee.
Yep.
You know, we don't have Starbucks one day.
It actually makes the point that I actually added up the amount of money I was spending in coffee, not making it at home, at Starbucks or a local barista, on my way into work. Very easily, if you do it every day, you're spending $40, $45 for your Frappuccino, you know, Ramalama, whatever. And that's money that you could say, you know what, I'm not going to spend it for a week, and I'm going to give it to somebody that needs it.
That's right. And there's, you know, there's other ways to help that are absolutely free. We've had a lot of success with people doing fundraisers on Facebook. You know, it just takes a click and you can create a fundraiser.
Yeah.
People have raised between like a couple of $100 to a couple of $1,000 just by sending out a thing saying help Holocaust survivors, you know, on my fundraiser. And the money goes right to the survivors.
Well, no matter how you help. Help, and I'm sure I'm sure the prayers help as well. That's something that should not be taken lightly. I want you to go to the website and just do what you can, which is Survivor Mitzvah. Again, it's MITZVAH, SurvivorMitzvah.org. The Survivor Mitzvah Project is in Los Angeles. Zane Busby is just tremendous. I know she's been a television director. She has her foot in the comedy door. You've been an actress, but I got to tell you, the best work you've done has been on the humanitarian side. And I here in San Diego appreciate you so much. And I wish you the best with this film, which again, people can come see. November 9th is the screening. It's going to be put on at the Jewish Collaborative of San Diego Center at 7805 Centella Street in Carlsbad. And again, if people want to get tickets, because there's limited seating, jcoprograms@gmail.com. You know what? And people say that we're in dark times, and maybe we are in certain aspects politically, and I'm not even going to get into that here. But as long as there's people like this that are making sure people are taken care of, there's hope, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, because it's easy to be a good person in easy times.
Yep.
In the dark times, that's when you really test the mettle of who you are as a person. And, you know, there are just times in your life, I mean, hopefully every day, but there are certainly times in your life you have to decide who you stand for and who you stand with. And you know, hopefully it's for people who need your help.
Well, amen to that. And Zane Busby, thanks for coming on Community Focus.
Thank you so much.
And I'd love to have you back on in the future. And maybe we can talk about the turnout of how the film went.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Noah Dingley on Community Focus. Stay tuned. There's more coming up on these very same Salem Network stations.